Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast with Brother Eric John Phelps on this October the 5th, 2025. This podcast is for the benefit of a dear brother in Christ, Scott Mason. He asked me to preach a message on the Jews and specifically this issue of the Ashkenazi Jews. And I thought I would add to that a few words on the Sephardic Jews, and then a few words on the Khazarian mythology that the Jews living in Israel today are not racial Hebrew-Jewish Israelites, but merely Khazarians in the area of the Ukraine or the Russian steppes, which is sheer nonsense and totally unbiblical. So, before I get to that topic, I want to go through the history of the creation of the racial Hebrew, Jewish, Israelitish people, beginning from Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, through the 12 sons, coming down to their kingdom of David, its division, the 10 tribes of the north breaking away or ultimately being captured by the Assyrians and subjugated by the Assyrians in 721, and then 150 years later, or 100 or so years later, you have the Babylonians subjugating the Judea and Benjamin in the land of Judah in around 586. So, with that, you have the Jews going into captivity. The 10 tribes will never return to the land as a tribe. They will return as individuals, we see in several places, but as far as the tribes returning, the 10 tribes, they never will. The only tribes returning will be the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin after the Babylonian captivity, and they will ultimately build the second temple in preparation for the coming of their Mashiach. The ultimate conclusion will be that the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites, composed of the 12 tribes, or in fact, the 13 tribes, because the tribe of Judah, Joseph, was broken up between the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. So there's actually 13 tribes. 12 of those tribes will get the land promises, and Levi will not get any land in the millennial kingdom. But I want to show to you that according to the Bible, the Word of God, in our AV 1611 Reformation English Bible for English-speaking peoples, in its present edition of 1769, that God has preserved his racial Hebrew people. Remember, all Hebrews are Jews, but not all Jews are Hebrews. And so, he has preserved them. He has preserved them to this present day, although I am convinced that there are many of them who do not know they're Jews. And there are many people that call themselves Jews who are not racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites. So it's a huge mix. The Lord knows those that are his, racially speaking, of the Abrahamic covenant. He's preserving them now for the future 70th week of Daniel yet to come. And then the ultimate establishment of the millennial kingdom, the kingdom of David being reestablished by Jesus Christ himself, to sit on the throne of David for 1,000 years. And during that time, the nation of Israel will be in a position of being the head of all nations. And though that is the 12 tribes, and the apostles will have been resurrected, each of them to judge one of the tribes of Israel, as the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in Matthew chapter 19. So, we'll start with Abraham. We see in Genesis 15 how the Lord saves Abram. At this time. Verse 6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That verse is quoted in Romans chapter 4 when Abram was saved. It's the same righteousness that we're given. It's the righteousness of the very God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Abram was saved, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. It's a land promise. So Abram says, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, which would be Egypt, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, approximately 430 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. That's the pre-incarnate Son of God. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river, and that's known as the Brook of Egypt. It's not the Nile River. From the river of Egypt into the great river, the river Euphrates, which is the river Euphrates we know of today, which means the size of that land is about the size of France. Clarence Larkin has a great map in his book, Dispensational Truth. And if you get the book, you can see it all laid out quite nicely. So this is the land promise of the Abrahamic covenant that is everlasting, that is unilateral, and it's given to Abram and his physical racial seed. So therefore, the devil will be doing his best to try to prevent this from coming to pass. He will try to corrupt the physical racial seed of Abraham, either by interracial marriage, rape, or just destroying the seed by outright murder and crusades. But know for surety that the devil has done his very best and will continue his quest in the destruction of this racial people so that the Lord would not be able to fulfill his everlasting Abrahamic covenant, which of course is impossible because Satan is not more powerful than the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who's been given all authority in heaven and on earth right now. That Abrahamic promise is continued from Abraham to Isaac. It's racial. Genesis 26, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that's specifically Genesis 22, with that specific seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in thy seed, a specific seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So, the Abrahamic covenant is then extended to Isaac. His son from Rebekah. So it's a racial covenant from Abraham through his son Isaac and through Isaac's sons Jacob. We read of this in Genesis. Genesis 27, verse 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. This blessing and curse you originally find in Genesis 12, before there is the Abrahamic covenant established. But that blessing and curse promise is extended into the Abrahamic covenant, as we see here in Genesis 27, verse 28. I'll bless those that bless thee, I'll curse those that curse thee. And by the way, Donald Trump is putting a curse on Israel by forcing the government of Israel under command of the Pope, which Trump is doing the Pope's bidding, to stop the war against Hamas and to exchange the prisoners with those that have been kidnapped by savage Arab Muslim Hamas working for the Pope. And so rather than allow the people of Israel to get rid of this problem, because they could do it in short order, Satan has used the American military government and its head, 33rd degree Freemason Donald Trump, to continue to divide the land promised to Abraham and to continue the Arab-Israeli conflict or agitation, which, as I've taught you, will never be allowed to end until the final Pope of Rome comes to power. Then he himself will end it temporarily, pursuant to Daniel 9:27. He's the prince that shall come. He's the prince that shall come. And he's Roman, of Revelation 17:10. The seventh Roman king. The seventh Roman Caesar. So, it's going to continue. The agitation is going to continue. There's going to be more Jewish people killed for nothing in this agitation, because it could be ended. But they're living under the times of the Gentiles, and hence Jerusalem has been under Gentile rule since no later than 586, when Nebuchadnezzar came in, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and the Judah and Benjamin went into captivity. The 10 tribes were already in captivity to Assyria by 721. And so what we have here is the land that has never been inherited by the seed of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob and the 12 sons, hence the 12 tribes. They've never, ever possessed that land promise, but they will with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he institutes and fulfills that land promise given to Abraham way back in, 1800 BC, something like that. So, the promise from Abraham goes to Isaac and goes to Jacob, we see in Genesis 28, verse 4, and verses 12 through 14. This is the blessing that God's going to give to Jacob. Verse 4, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Jacob got the promise. Now we go to verses 12 through 14 of Genesis 28. And he dreamed and beheld a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and beheld the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Christ refers to this in his ministry. What if you shall see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man? But look at the context. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. So the land promise given to Abraham, Isaac, is now given to Jacob. And the Lord said so. Which means that Jacob will have to be resurrected to inherit it, and his physical seed will inherit it, which means his physical seed has to survive and be maintained throughout the next 3,000 years, 1,500 BC, and another 2 to that, 3,500 years. The 12 tribes still exist. They're still in existence in spite of all the murder, rape, wars, crusades of the Pope. They still exist. The Lord's preserved that seed. Or else God is not God, but he is God. So the Hebrew Jewish Israelites of those 12 tribes still exist today. Jacob will have 12 sons. From four different women, he'll have 12 sons. Some of those sons are lighter skinned, some of those sons are darker skinned. So, we see in Exodus 28, verse 21, "And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Everyone with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes." Now the Bible teaches us that the sons of Jacob are each the father of a tribe. So there are 12 tribes of the children of Israel that will be preserved, by the way, into eternity. After 40 years of wandering, the 12 tribes enter the promised land. They will not possess all of it to its promised borders of Genesis 15, but they're going to enter into the promised land. And they will ultimately come under a king, King Saul, in 1 Samuel. Saul will be removed, and there will be King David. He will be in power for some 40 years. David will have a son named Solomon. Solomon will be ruling Israel, I believe, for another 40 years thereabouts. And because of the unwise governing practices of Solomon, like taxing the people to death, among other things, the 10 tribes leave the kingdom. And so you have a king in the north and a king in the south. You have 10 tribes to the north and 2 tribes to the south. Well, the north goes apostate pretty quick, and you can read about it in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. And they worship other gods, and the Lord has enough. And so, therefore, in 721, the savage Assyrian army comes in, conquers Samaria, conquers the 10 tribes, takes them away captivity into Assyria, puts their Assyrian people and soldiers in the region so they can copulate and attempt to destroy the physical racial seed of the 10 tribes north. The devil's all about miscegenation. He's all about destroying a racial people. He's doing that to us white people here in North America. For our sin and departing from the Word of God, why we are being race mixed and miscegenated with blacks and Hispanics that they're bringing up here, and he's destroying the white race peoples of America and Canada and England and Scotland, and you know, it's because of our apostasy and sin having departed from him. Not that we're Jews, not that we're Israelites, but the principle's the same. And so the Assyrians did their best to race mix and miscegenate the 10 tribes, and the offspring of that forced race mixing were called the Samaritans. The Samaritans. The Samaritans were half Assyrian and half Hebrew, half Jewish. Remember, all Hebrews are Jews, but not all Jews are Hebrews. Christ speaks to the Samaritan woman at the well, and he doesn't identify with her as of the same race, because he says, "We know whom we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." So, the Samaritans are the offspring of the pagan, Gentile, Assyrian savages that came in and brought the 10 tribes into captivity, and the 10 tribes will never go back to their land. They're called the 10 lost tribes. Well, they're lost to us, but they're not lost to God. He knows exactly where they are. He knows the genetic makeup of all of them, what countries that they're in. He knows it all. He knows the beginning from the end, and God is not deceived or confused about anything. So the 10 tribes never came back. So in the meantime, Judah and Benjamin are still living in their land in 721, but they gradually go apostate. And in 605, you have the first entrance of Nebuchadnezzar coming into the land, and he conquers them. But in 586, after their rebellion with King Zedekiah, Nebuchadnezzar comes back, and he's utterly fierce. He puts the eyes out of King Zedekiah, leads him away captive into Babylon, destroys Jerusalem and the temple, It's in 586. And the times of the Gentiles now begin. No more throne of David. No more self-governing for the Hebrew Jewish Israelites under the Lord. Now they are a conquered people ruled by Gentiles then and to this day. We are still living in the times of the Gentiles. That's why Israel doesn't govern anybody or anything. Israel is the tail of all nations, Deuteronomy 28. The government of Israel is totally subordinate to the Pope of Rome as he governs it through the Emergency War Powers Military Government in District of Columbia, District of Catholics, District of Coloreds. This is the rule of the papacy today, through the military center power of the world in District of Columbia. The financial power is in London. The political power is in New York with the Council on Foreign Relations. The Archbishop is the Archbishop of the political capital of the world, according to John Paul II when he spoke to John Cardinal Connor. And the Jews, the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites, are in diaspora for the most part. There's more Jews in North America than there are in Italy, in Israel. And so they're still living. We're still living in the times of the Gentiles, when Gentiles rule Jerusalem and the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what happens is the 10 tribes will never return. But when this captivity happens, the Lord promises that he will be a little sanctuary to them when they're in diaspora. We read in Ezekiel 11, verse 16. Therefore say, Prophet Ezekiel, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, among the nations, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. So that means the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites will survive their diaspora, because none other than Almighty Jehovah, Jehovah God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all authority, all jurisdiction in heaven and in earth, who himself is King of the Jews, the King of Israel, the King of Jerusalem, who will one day make it known to the world when he returns at his second coming, when he appears without sin unto salvation, to enforce the Abrahamic covenants and the Davidic covenant. He is the one that's preserving his racial Hebrew Jewish Israelitish brethren in diaspora, and they don't know it. There's a certain prophet that says that he says that he's preserving, the Lord's preserving the people, and they don't know it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. It is impossible for the Hebrew Jewish Israelites to be entirely killed off. Impossible. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 35 through 37. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel, the physical racial descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Meaning that those ordinances will never depart. Verse 37. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel, for all that they have done, saith the Lord. In other words, the foundations of the earth searched out beneath cannot be done, because you see, the earth is a plane, and there's deep foundations in Job chapter 38, that the earth has foundations and the earth is suspended on nothing. No one knows the depths of these foundations upon which the plane, the flat earth sits. It's massive, incomprehensible to the average mind of a man. And therefore, it's impossible for us to search that out beneath. Therefore, the Lord will never cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, that they shall never cease to be a nation before him. Impossible. Therefore, any of these pagan, Christ-denying, secular, quote-unquote, authors that tell you that the Jewish race no longer exists, that the racial Hebrew-Jewish Israelites do not exist, like Kevin Allen Brook in his book, The Jews of Khazaria, and like Arthur Kessler in his book, The 13th Tribe, these two sinners, these two Jews, I believe, I think Kevin Allen Brooks is a Jew, that they don't believe the Word of God. And they're going to tell you that the Jews cease to exist. And then there are others who are going to tell you, well, the Jews are nothing but a Khazar, a bunch of Khazars, they're not even racial Jews anymore. That's nonsense. I'll show you. Or that the Jews that call themselves the Ashkenazi, they're not really Jews, they're just some Germans or Ashkenazis. That's all nonsense. The devil wants you to believe that the Jews, the racial Jews, have ceased to exist, and the ones that live in Israel today are nothing but a bunch of fakers and liars, claiming to be Jews, and they're not. By the way, Revelation chapter 3, those of the synagogue of Satan say they're Jews and they're not. They're not spiritual Jews, but they're most assuredly racial Jews. Because the Lord differs between the two in John chapter 8. He says to those leading Jewish leaders, I know you're the seed of Abraham. I'm not denying that, but you're of your father the devil. Your spiritual father is the devil. Your physical father are racial Jews. I know that. He distinguishes between the two in John chapter 8. And so it's here that the racial Hebrew-Jewish Israelites can never be totally destroyed, according to these prophets of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and others. The 12 tribes will be preserved. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time, to establish the Davidic kingdom, because he didn't come to establish the church. He came unto his own to fulfill the promises that he had made to his own. And so we read in Matthew 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, does that mean the Lord Jesus Christ is a racist? Huh? He's a racialist. Oh, yes, he is. He distinguishes between racial Hebrew, Jewish, Israelites, and Gentiles at this time. Because at this time, he comes only to his own. So the disciples say, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Oh, he doesn't refuse worship because he's God manifest in the flesh. Came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs, you pet dogs. He likened Gentiles to pet dogs. Well, that's not much universal equality there for all you communists, huh? And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Christ came, what? He came only to the house of the lost sheep of Israel, which was composed of the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes. So they were in existence in his day. In Matthew 19, verse 28, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, that's the second coming when he comes back to the earth and he's going to have to regenerate it because it's a total mess. Everything in the oceans died and a host of other things. So he's going to have to regenerate the earth as God manifest in the flesh can only do. Amen. In the regeneration when the Son of Man is a Israelitish messianic title. It has nothing to do with the church. It has to do with Israel. You find it in Daniel chapter 7. When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, that's the Davidic throne as it was promised in Luke chapter 1, he shall sit on the throne of his father David, the throne of his glory, he shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, Judas was a traitor, he betrayed himself, killed himself, and Matthias takes his place in Acts chapter 1. So there will be 12 apostles that will be resurrected to sit and judge the 12 tribes that will have survived these last several thousand years to inherit the Davidic kingdom as promised to them and to Isaac and Jacob and Abraham. Christ uses the term the 12 tribes of Israel. In Acts chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is before King Agrippa, and he is giving an account of the hope within him, tells where he came from, and then he says in verse 6, And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Verse 7, Unto which promise are 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? So the Apostle Paul talks about the 12 tribes that were in existence in his day. They weren't all killed out of Assyria and out of Babylon in their international, in their diaspora. They still existed in Christ's day, in the Apostle Paul's day. In the book of James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, his James' father was Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ's father was God, the Father. So James is his half-brother, they have the same mother, Miriam. Because you see, Miriam went on to have four more sons and two daughters, according to Matthew 13. So she wasn't a perpetual virgin, my Roman Catholic friends. Time to read the Bible. And so we read in James chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So remember, James is an apostle to the Jews, along with John, as we read in Acts 15. And so his ministry, along with Peter's, his is to the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites too. And so he says here that the 12 tribes still exist. And this is written around AD 50, something like that. So Jesus Christ said the 12 tribes still exist. The Apostle Paul said the 12 tribes still exist. And James says the 12 tribes still exist. They still exist in the first century. So what we're going to deal with now is, have the 12 tribes been annihilated? Well, we already read the prophet Jeremiah and Malachi, that I am the Lord your God, I change not, therefore the sons of Jacob are not consumed. We have the promises from all these prophets that it's impossible for the 12 tribes to be destroyed entirely. We have the promise that during this diaspora, that the nation of Israel would be reestablished. They, not knowing their God, they're still in a condition of blindness, pursuant to Romans 11, 2 Corinthians 3. The nation has been blinded, yet they would be regathered back to their land in a condition of unbelief, according to Ezekiel 38, which is the prophecy of the coming Russian invasion of Israel, of a land that is in peace because of the covenant of Daniel 9:27, where the Pope sets up this covenant where the Arab-Israeli conflict will cease to exist, and so they're in peace. And about the middle of the week, about the middle, for the elapse of the first 3.5 years, the Russians are going to come down. Rush Prince, Gog, the Rush Prince of Meshech and Tubal, Moscow and Tobolsk, going to come down and invade Israel with some other nations. And so we read here in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 8. After many days, thou, Rush Prince of Meshech and Tubal, shall be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and it gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. So this attack is going to take place. This can't happen in the millennial kingdom. There will be no war at that kingdom, so it's got to be before. It's got to be in this 70th week of Daniel, just before midweek. Right before the Great Tribulation begins. It's not the 7-year tribulation, it's the 70th week of Daniel. And the Great Tribulation is the last half. Okay. So they've been brought back in a condition of unbelief. So that the Jews living today in Israel, the vast majority of them, at least 80% or more, are racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites, whether they be Ashkenazi, or whether they be Sephardic, or whether they be Karaites. They're racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites living in that land today. And the ones that are not are the savage Arab Muslims who would like to kill them all and drive them all into the sea. And yet, the Jewish people there are not allowed to get rid of them. They're living under the Pope's Masonic Jewish labor Zionists. They're living under the Pope's Benjamin Netanyahu, who's going to come to an agreement with Trump. We're going to have an agreement with Hamas, and we'll stop this, and you return the hostages. So it can happen again and again and again till the final Pope of Rome comes and has that covenant. So we see here that they're in a condition of unbelief. They're regathered back. Daniel says the same thing. We have the 70 weeks of years prophecy, 490 years. Daniel 9:24-27. In verse 27 we read, and he, this is the he of the princes shall come, of verse 26. The princes shall come, the people of the princes shall come, shall destroy the city, Jerusalem, and the sanctuary. Who were these people? They were Romans people. Therefore, the prince's coming will be Roman. A Roman. A pope, the final seventh king of Revelation 17:10. And he shall confirm the covenant. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, after the first 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. If you're going to have a sacrifice and oblation, you have to have a Hebrew temple. And if that's the case, it has to be a third Hebrew temple, because the second Hebrew temple doesn't entertain this guy that causes the sacrifice and oblation to cease. So here we have the prophecy of a third Hebrew temple that's going to have a priesthood, sacrifice, evening, morning, oblation. He's going to cause it to cease. For that to happen, there has to be a nation of Israel. For to have a nation of Israel, you have to have people of the 12 tribes having returned. Because the 12 tribes cannot be destroyed, absolutely. Again, in Daniel chapter 12, we read. We read, verse 7, I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he had held up his right hand and his left hand unto the heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, that's one times two, and half a time, that's 3.5. is 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. This verse is teaching you here that a regathered nation of Israel at this time will be very powerful. Their power is going to increase greatly after this crusade that has begun with this Gaza agitation, started by the Pope, using Netanyahu and Ishmael, whatever his name was, the head of Hamas at the time, both working for the Pope. Because both are working for the Pope so that they will work together to destroy the Muslim mosque in the Jerusalem so the Pope can have his third Hebrew temple. Because he's going to sit there and demand to be worshipped as God for 3.5 years after he's killed with a sword, rises from the dead, and possessed by Satan. That's what was coming down the road here, folks. Gen X, you need to know this. Going to break the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. And so, verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, to have that, the abomination of the desolator, this is a statue that the Antichrist is going to put in the third Hebrew temple, demand to be worshipped as God. That's the abomination of the desolator. The Antichrist is called the desolator. To have that, you've got to have a third Hebrew temple. To have a Hebrew temple, you have to have a nation of Israel. To have a nation of Israel, you have to have Hebrew Jewish Israelites there. Because this is not happening. There cannot be a third Hebrew temple when it was under the reign of the Ottoman Turks. That's why the Jesuits, using their British Empire, ended the Ottoman Empire. And then they created their Jewish state to the end that it would be a nation, to the end that it would have a third Hebrew temple. All orchestrated by the Jesuit papacy under the all-seeing eye of the Lord Jesus Christ, having all power in heaven and on earth, because he needs that third Hebrew temple to fulfill the mystery of godliness, just like Satan needs the third Hebrew temple to fulfill his mystery of iniquity. Yeah. So, there has to be a nation of Israel. The 12 tribes, therefore, cannot be destroyed, so that there can be a revived nation of Israel, as took place in 1948. We look to the book of Revelation. Remember, chapters 6 through 19 have to do with the 70th week of Daniel. The church is nowhere to be found from chapter 6 to chapter 19. Right? It's Israel and the nations. So we read in chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Does the earth have four corners? Of course it is. It does. Sure it does. It's a flat earth. And in the center of it, there's a circle. And that's where the oceans are and the continents are, but it's a square. And this square that has corners. It's corners of the flat earth. That's how it really looks. Not this stupid-looking globe that the Jesuits want us to believe, that the earth is a globe spinning on its axis, so it spins like a pear. It's just nonsense. The earth has four corners, literal corners. And that little phrase, corners, is used twice in the New Testament. And it is literal corners. So, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the west, and having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. It's not the Jehovah Witnesses. These 12 tribes exist in the future day of the coming 70th week of Daniel. Because there's going to be 12,000 out of each tribe, 12,000 young men out of each tribe. They're going to have a seal put upon their forehead. And then he gives them all. Of Judah, 12,000. Reuben, 12,000. Gad, 12,000. All the way on down. All of them, each tribe, 12,000, totaling 144,000, because they're going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ of the kingdom to the ends of the earth, calling the earth to repentance and belief on Christ, because he's coming back shortly. Yeah. And then after the second coming of Christ, when he comes back in power and glory and smashes his enemies and sits on his throne of David, he's going to divide the promised land that he gave to Abraham among the 12 tribes that have survived the last couple of thousand years. They survived the tribulation, the great one. A remnant of them have survived. And they're going to get the promised land divided to them according to their tribal promises. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 21. So shall ye divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you, and to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall ye give him his inheritance, saith the Lord God. So there will be non-racial Jews that will also inherit this, as the Lord says. They're strangers. Now in chapter 48. Now these are the names of the tribes. From the north end to the coast of the way of Hebron, Hethlon, as one goeth to Hamath, and then he's going to say portion of Dan. It goes on, describes the land. Portion for Asher, portion for Naphtali, portion for Manasseh, portion for Ephraim, portion for Reuben, portion for Judah. It goes on. Portion for Benjamin, portion for Simeon, portion for Issachar, a portion for Zebulun, a portion for Gad, all 12 tribes, and Levi are the priests, and they have the ministry of the fourth Hebrew temple that Christ is going to build himself. But what's your point? The point is that the 12 tribes are going to be existing and inheriting all the promises of the prophets here, so therefore it's impossible to kill all the Jews or to race or to breed them out of existence. Impossible. Can't happen. And anybody telling you that is a liar. I don't care how many PhDs and TDs and what MDs he's got behind his name. He's a liar because he's not a speaking according to this world word. And if they're not a speaking according to this world, there is no light in them. After the millennial kingdom of Christ, and then there's the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20. Revelation 21 tells us about the eternal state with the new Jerusalem, with the new heavens and the new earth. And the 12 tribes are still here. Yeah. They will be immortalized, immemorialized, whatever word you want to use. Their memory and their existence will never cease to exist. We read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. See, Jerusalem is the mother of us all, according to Galatians. The mother, the holy mother, is not the Virgin Mary. The holy mother is Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written therein, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Imagine that. Issachar, Judah, Gad. It's a city four square, so there's 3 gates on each side, 3, 6, 9, 12. And on each gate is a name of a tribe. The 12 tribes of Israel are forever to exist. They will exist on the new earth too. So in light of these scriptures, in light of these promises, now we can study true history. And now we can ferret out the liars who want to get us to throw out the Bible and disbelieve God because they have some sort of a degree, or a bunch of people agree with them. So I want to read to you a little portion of Kevin Allen Brooks' work, The Jews of Khazaria, where he denies that the racial Hebrew-Jewish Israelites have been preserved. He teaches at the end with his conclusion that they've all been race-mixed and miscegenated and bred out of existence. I want to read to you two statements of Kevin Allen Brook from The Jews of Khazaria. Now, Khazaria was an empire that existed from about 650 to 1050, 1100. And there were Jews that lived in Khazaria. And the king of Khazaria converted to Judaism, but he was still a Khazarian. And there were Jews that lived there, racial Jews who lived there, called Khazarian Jews. But the whole nation didn't convert to Judaism. And the Jews we know of today are not Khazarians, racial Khazarians. So I want to read to you his first wrong conclusion. We read on page 303. He says, the adoption of Judaism by Khazars, Alans, Slavs, Cumans, Berbers, and other peoples was not an insignificant process to be mentioned only in passing. Rather, conversion and intermarriage have been major factors in the development of Jewish communities in Yemen, which is black, Ethiopia, which is black, Tunisia, which is black, Middle East and Caucasus, and Central and Eastern Europe, which are generally white. In addition to the conversion of volunteers and slaves, sons and daughters of non-Jewish men became Jews as a result of rape or the keeping of concubines. By the way, in the Judaistic religion today, a man is a Jew if his mother's a Jew. According to the Bible, a man is a Jew if his father's a Jew. The seed passes through the man. So modern-day Judaism is apostate because they're going to take in everybody that's a result of rape or some other terrible thing to Jewish women. They're not Jews. The seed travels through the semen, through the man, not the woman. We go on. As a result of widespread conversions, today's Jews do not represent a distinct race, quote-unquote, or homogeneous ethnicity. Even the ancient Hebrews were heterogeneous and multiracial, mixing with Egyptians, Amorites, Hittites, and numerous other tribes. Only individually, it wasn't a massive miscegenation. Lying Kevin Allen Brook. So he wants to tell you that they're all race mixed and they're all gone. They don't exist anymore. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Now, this other statement he makes is very true. Got to give the devil his due here. On page 229, he has conclusions. He says, in chapter 10, I examine the evidence concerning the widespread phenomenon of conversion to Judaism in pre-modern Europe. Given this evidence, it is possible to establish a direct kinship between Jews and their non-Jewish neighbors. Many Jews may be descended from Slavs, such as Belarusians, Poles, and Russians, as well as from Germans, Austrians, Gypsies, and many other peoples. Now, he makes this very important statement here. At the same time, it is probable that there is a small underlying Israelite Judean component among Ashkenazi Jews. Here, he's not denying that there is a racial Hebrew Jewish Israelitish people yet preserved among the Ashkenazi Jews. But generally, he's going to conclude the whole Jewish race is gone. That's the book, The Jews of Khazaria by Kevin Allen Brook. A notorious liar. The other book on this topic is called The 13th Tribe by Arthur Koestler. And he says, this book traces the history of the ancient Khazar Empire, a major but almost forgotten power in Eastern Europe, which in the Dark Ages became converted to Judaism. That whole empire didn't convert to Judaism. That's a lie. The king did. and his nobles, and I'll show you that that's the case, but not the whole empire. No more than the whole American empire is converted to Judaism. Khazaria was finally wiped out by the forces of Genghis Khan, but evidence indicates that the Khazars themselves migrated to Poland and formed the cradle of Western Jewry. Continued on front flap. He says, to the general reader, the Khazars, who flourished from the 7th to the 11th century, may seem infinitely remote today, yet they have a close and unexpected bearing on our world, which emerges as Mr. Kessler, by the way, who was British intelligence, recounts the fascinating history of the ancient Khazar Empire, a major but almost forgotten power in Eastern Europe at about the time that Charlemagne was emperor of the West. The Khazars' sway extended from the Black Sea to the Caspian, from the Caucasus to the Volga, and that they were instrumental in stopping the Muslim onslaught against Byzantium, the eastern jaw of the gigantic pincer movement that in the West swept across northern Africa and into Spain, when the Muslims swept across Africa and took all that. Therefore, the Khazars found themselves in a precarious position between the two major world powers, the Eastern Roman Empire in Byzantium and the triumphant followers of Muhammad. As Mr. Kessler points out, the Khazars were the third world of their day, and they chose a surprising method of resisting both the Western pressure to become Christian, actually Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, and the Eastern to adopt Islam. Western to Catholicism, Eastern to Islam. Rejecting both, they converted to Judaism. Those are the leaders, not the people. In the second part of this book, quote-unquote, The Heritage, Mr. Kessler speculates about the ultimate faith of the Khazars and their impact on the racial composition and social heritage of modern Jewry. He produces a large body of meticulously detailed research in support of a theory that sounds all the more convincing for the restraint with which it is advanced. Yet should this theory be confirmed, the term, quote-unquote, anti-Semitism would become void of meaning, since, as Mr. Kessler writes, it is based, quote, on a misapprehension shared by both the killers and their victims. The story of the Khazar Empire, as it slowly emerges from the past, begins to look like the most cruel hoax which history has ever perpetrated. Yeah, namely, that the Jews of today are nothing but a bunch of Khazars, so therefore there's no such thing as anti-Semitism. I choose to use the word anti-Jewish fury, because Arabs are Semites. So this is his lead-off here. So let's read a couple of his conclusions. He rightfully concludes on page 177. He says, incidentally, the descendants of the biblical tribes, that's the 12 tribes, are the classic example of linguistic adaptability. And then he goes on to say, the Khazars were not descended from the tribes. That's right, Arthur. But as we have seen, they shared a certain cosmopolitan, that's a world citizenship, a certain cosmopolitanism and other social characteristics with their co-religionists. In other words, Khazars aren't Jews. He's right in that particular statement. But let's read a few more. On page 223, appendix 4, some implications, Israel and the diaspora. While this book deals with past history, it unavoidably carries certain implications for the present and future. Sure does. In the first place, I am aware of the danger that it may be maliciously interpreted as a denial of the state of Israel's right to exist. That's right, honey. Because if it has no land promise, it has no right to exist. Period. End of story. And if those people do not have the right of that land promise, they have no right to be there. And so the Arabs are right. The Palestinians are right. Get them out of here. They have no right to the land. You see, this giving weight to the wicked papal Palestinian agitation on the part of the Muslim Arabs. If there is no Jewish race with an Abrahamic covenant, it undercuts the entire foundation of the existing nation of Israel. If there is no chosen race with an Abrahamic covenant. So he goes on to state in his typical infidel fashion, he says, but that right is not based on the hypothetical origins of the Jewish people. The hypothetical origins? What? We know how they originated. We read it in the Bible. It's accurate in every subject that it deals with. So that's history. We know the history of Israel. It's in the Bible. It's not only inspired and errant word of God, it's also an inspired history book. But that right is not based on the hypothetical origins of the Jewish people, nor on the mythological covenant of Abraham with God. Oh, goody, I just read you a bunch of mythology, folks. Genesis 15 is mythology. Genesis 17 is mythology. The promise to Isaac and Jacob, mythology. So don't you just love reading the Bible? It's nothing but a bunch of Aesop's fables and mythology. That's what I believed when I was an atheist, when I was unsaved. Just a book of mysteries and mythology is nonsense. That's what this guy believes, this Arthur Koestler, this infidel Jew. So he goes on and he states on page 244, what sets them apart as a special category from the Gentiles amidst whom they live is their declared religion, whether they practice it or not. Now, I met many Jews that had no religion. Atheistic Jews. Kissinger is one of them. Netanyahu is another. Here lies the basic difference between Israelis and Jews of the diaspora. There is no difference. The Israelis are Jews. And Jews of the diaspora to this day, because we're living in times of the Gentiles. The former, the Israelis, have acquired a national identity. They wouldn't have acquired a national identity if they weren't singing for years next year in Jerusalem, with a yearning to be in their homeland as the racial Hebrew Jewish people live, that they are. That never would have happened. That national identity would never have been created. The latter are labeled as Jews only by their religion, not by their nationality, nor by their race. All wrong. These Jews are Jews by race, their nationality, the children of Israel. Israel's a nation. So just trying to hatch away at the Word of God and get Bible-believing people to doubt the Scriptures because he said so, because Arthur Koestler said so. This traitor, this British intelligence agent. You need to read more about him. He goes on, page 255. It is, however, not easy to define what the term Jewish tradition, quote-unquote, signifies in the eyes of this enlightened majority, who reject the chosen race doctrine of orthodoxy. Now, Jesus Christ believed in the chosen race doctrine of orthodoxy because, you see, he created it. By him, all things are created. Nothing that he created, nothing was made that was made apart from him. He created it all. And he created the nation of Israel. He created Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He created the Abrahamic covenant. It's all by him, for him, through him, and to him. For the glory of God the Father. So, the guy's going to conclude with the last sentence of heresy and blasphemy you need to know about. Because these academics are your enemies. They hate you. They hate the Bible. They hate what you believe about it. And they'll do anything they can to rip the Bible out of your hands and not believe it. Okay? Here's the last paragraph of his book, page 226. See, the 13th tribe is the Khazarian tribe. That's the theme of the book. That's the 13th tribe. Nevertheless, the lingering influence of Judaism's racial and historical message, though based on illusion, the Bible's a fairy tale, acts as a powerful emotional break by appealing to tribal loyalty. Why not? It's true. There is tribal loyalty. I've met Jews that said to me, Eric, I'm of the tribe of Cohen. Another one said to me, I'm a tribe of Judah. Well, how do you know? Our family has kept records, genealogical records. I said, when all the records destroyed, when they were burned up, destroyed by Titus Roman's legion, when he burned that thing down, nobody can really trace who you are. Well, we've done our best to keep it. I said, okay. It is in this context that the part played by the 13th tribe, the Khazarian 13th tribe, in ancestral history becomes relevant to the Jews of the diaspora. Yeah, the diaspora is prophesied in Deuteronomy 28. And they would never lose their identity during diaspora. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 4, they're coming back to the land. Yet, as already said, it is irrelevant to modern Israel, which has acquired a genuine national identity. Irrelevant? Are you kidding me? It's the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites versus the racial Arabs. It's all about race. It's all about race between whites and blacks. It's all about race. Not about your beliefs. It's all about race first and foremost. And that race of Hebrew Jewish Israelites has a blessing upon it and a curse upon anybody who curses them. And it's in the genes, and God is activated by whatever you do to those people. Yeah, because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. And he knows our thoughts and our deeds and our actions, and then blesses or curses accordingly as they relate to the racial, physical, Hebrew-Jewish Israelites of the everlasting Abrahamic covenant. Yet, as already said, it is irrelevant to modern Israel, which has acquired a genuine national identity. It is perhaps symbolic that Abraham Pollack, a professor of history at Tel Aviv University, and no doubt an Israeli patriot, made a major contribution to our knowledge of Jewry's Khazar ancestry. What a bunch of crap. Not you, that word, Mr. Crapper. Remember, Mr. Crapper was an American Protestant who invented the toilet. That's why they were called crappers. And so I'll just take that little word and say that what this guy said is a bunch of crap. Hopefully I'm not insulting Mr. Crapper. A major contribution to our knowledge of Jewry's Khazar ancestry, undermining the legend of the chosen race. Yeah, the legend of the chosen race. You tell that to Jesus Christ when he comes back in power and he speaks to his surviving racial people as he delivers them and as he judges surviving Gentiles, and he will kill those who persecuted his people and bless those and allow them to enter into the millennial kingdom if they were good to the Jews. The blessing and the curse is going to be administered by Jesus Christ himself personally at his second coming, at the judgment of the sheep and the goats, Matthew 25. The legend of the chosen race. It may also be significant that the native Israeli Sabra represents physically and mentally the complete opposite of the, quote, typical Jew bred in the ghetto. No, they're the same of the racial makeup, Mr. Kessler. You blasphemer. So these are the two books that these infidels are going to throw at you. Kevin Allen Brooks, the 13th, Kevin Allen Brooks, the Jews of Khazaria, and the 13th Tribe by Arthur Kessler. And now you know they're liars and they deny the word of God, and so just don't worry about it. The Lord's going to deal with them. They're probably both dead by now. Now I want to read a little bit more to you. I have an article here I got years ago. I put it in my book that I just read to you. Scholar claims to find medieval Jewish capital. And we read on the second page, the Khazars' ruling dynasty and nobility converted to Judaism sometime in the 8th or 9th centuries. Not all the Khazarians, they didn't all convert, just the leaders did. Goes on. Vasilev, the Russian archaeologist, said the limited number of Jewish religious artifacts, such as mezuzahs and Stars of David found at other Khazar sites, proved that ordinary Khazars preferred traditional beliefs such as shamanism or newly introduced religions, including Islam. In other words, the ordinary Khazars didn't convert to Judaism. And that's the big lie that you have to know about and refute. Only the leaders did. Only the nobility did, for political reasons, period. He goes on. Yevgeny Satanovsky, director of Middle Eastern Institute in Moscow, said he believes the Khazar elite chose Judaism as political expediency to remain independent of neighboring Muslim and Catholic or Orthodox states. Quote, they embraced Judaism because they wanted to remain neutral like Switzerland these days, unquote, he said. That's why the leaders of Khazaria converted to Judaism. Now, Khazaria will fall in about the late 11th century, in like 1098, thereabouts. And the Jews would flee to other nations in Eastern Europe, leaving Khazaria. And I want to end by, well, I'm going to tell you why Khazaria fell. Here's Kevin Allen Brooks, The Jews of Khazaria, page 196. Reasons for Khazaria's destruction. Douglas M. Dunlap believed that three major factors contributed to the downfall of Khazaria. This is why we study history, so we can learn from it, so that we don't do the same thing. He says, the lack of natural frontiers for defense. Well, second, the alleged lack of self-sufficiency for most resources, and the lack of homogeneity in the Khazarian population. This is how the Jesuits are destroying America. Lack of natural frontiers. They have been invading us with foreigners. We've lost our borders. We don't have these frontiers that we once used to have, these natural borders. Next is lack of self-sufficiency for most resources. That's why they've outsourced everything out of here. So you got to buy something from Brazil or something, a pair of shoes. They did that deliberately to us. The Jesuits have done that deliberately to us. And then the third one is lack of homogeneity in the Khazarian population. That's why they're bringing all these millions of Mexicans and Hispanics and got, what, 20, 30 million of them here. And all these blacks are bringing in from Africa. They've weaponized the typical American blacks against white people to kill us off, to reduce our population. I would maintain now that the white population of America is probably near 50%, 50, 55%. And when it's no longer white, it will no longer be a great nation. Part of the Counter-Reformation designed to destroy white peoples of historic Protestant nations. And they followed the blueprint of what destroyed Khazaria. Race mixing everywhere, different nations, different populations, different languages that will secure our defeat in the coming war. When the Jews fled Khazaria in about 1100 at the latest, they fled east, west, to the Eastern Europe nations and into Germany. And it's these Jews that were fleeing out of Khazaria that were part of the 10 tribes surviving during their diaspora that came to be known as the Ashkenazi Jews. We read from a particular article. Ashkenazi, member of the Jews who lived in the Rhineland Valley and in neighboring France before their migration eastward to Slavic lands, Poland, Lithuania, Russia, after the Crusades, 11th, 13th century, that's 12, that's 1000 to 1200, and their descendants. After the 17th century persecutions in Eastern Europe, a large number of these Jews resettled in Western Europe, where they assimilated, as they had done in Eastern Europe, with other Jewish communities. In time, all Jews who had adopted the German Rite, quote-unquote, synagogue ritual were referred to as Ashkenazim, to distinguish them from the Sephardic Spanish Rite Jews. Ashkenazism, different from Sephardim in their pronunciation of Hebrew, in cultural traditions, in synagogue, cantillation, chanting, in their widespread use of Yiddish, until the 20th century, and especially in synagogue liturgy. The Ashkenazi Jews used Yiddish. They were also called Yids, disrespectfully. The Sephardic Jews were never called Yids. They're not Ashkenazis. They were up from Spain in that particular region. And the Ashkenazis hold to the Talmud. The Sephardic Jews do not hold to the Talmud, from what I understand. And the Talmud is a very evil book or series of books to say that Jesus Christ is a bastard, his mother Mary is a whore, and Jesus Christ is boiling in hot feces right now. That's the Talmud. And that's what the Ashkenazi Orthodox Jews believe. Now remember, they're enemies of the gospel, according to Romans 11. But they're beloved for the Father's sake. Romans 11, verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God, the Abrahamic covenant, are without repentance. It ain't changing. So therefore, these Ashkenazi Jews are the 10 tribes of the nation of Israel that were taken north and went into north by the Assyrian captivity. And I maintain the two lower tribes of Judah and Benjamin, taken captive by the Babylonians, many of them became Sephardic Jews. So you have the two divisions of the Jews today, the Sephardic and the Ashkenazi, composing all 12 tribes, wherever they might be in the earth. And then you have all this robbery, rape, and murder over the centuries, the attempted bastardization of the Jewish people, of their race. And yet they still exist. So in conclusion, time to be saved, my Jewish friend. Time to believe that Christ, your Messiah, died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, as foretold by Isaiah in chapter 53. And calls all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. By believing that wonderful gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture, that's the Hebrew Scripture, was buried and rose again according to the Hebrew Scripture. And upon believing that gospel, the Lord will save you, my Jewish friend, place you in the body of Christ, seal you to the day of redemption, and now you can be a Jew, real Jew, with a circumcised heart. Now you'll be a completed Jew. Yeah. And now you know what's coming for Israel. And for you American Jews that live in America, you need to seriously think about making Aliyah to Israel. You got to get out of here. You better go back there. You're going to be safer there than you are here. America, like Khazaria, is going to fall unless there's a great awakening and a true repentance and a true confession of sin and a true seeking God. When America, like Khazaria, is going to fall, the Jews left Khazaria and they went someplace else. And you Jews need to go to Israel. Because it's getting to the place now with this Palestinian agitation of the Pope all around the world. I mean, what, 1.5 million people ready to agitate all the nations of the world? Out of Gaza? What have they ever done for you? What have they ever done for us? Nothing. We're going to be agitated about it? So, these are the Ashkenazi Jews and the Sephardic Jews. They're really racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites. And they're not from the 13th tribe called the Khazarians. That's all nonsense, because only the leaders of Khazaria converted to Judaism. So in conclusion, I trust this helps you, Brother Scott. We held to the Word of God. We know it's true. And we understand true history, because the Word of God, true history will never counter the Word of God. Brother John Phelps, thank you for tuning in today. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. Please go to my website, vaticanassassins.org. Pick up the ebook. Also go to 24/7 World Radio and pick up my broadcast there. And I have some other things that I offer there with my private citizenship class, my tax class. For those of you who don't work in the public sector, if you are privately working, exercising your fundamental right to work, you don't owe the Pope's income excise war privilege tax. You need to take my class. And lastly, please, if now that you're saved, you have the responsibility to resist unto blood, striving against sin, Hebrews 12:4. Are you resisting? You can contact me. You can send your gifts to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Or you can give me a gift through PayPal at Cash App, or PayPal at RBPB Church, rbpbdonate@comcast.net, rbpbdonate@comcast.net, or you can send me a gift through Cash App at Cash Tag, Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S. So until the next time we meet, may the Lord bless you as you read his word, and that we may be obedient thereto, and maybe he would turn his fierce wrath away from us, from national judgment, as Trump and company working for the Pope are bringing us into the Third World War. God deliver us. Till next time, Maranatha.